when I'm going to work for Brand X, because they don't require that I have a workers' comp policy, so I won't work for you. I'll work for someone who doesn't require it. We're just trying to make a level playing field and also protect our workers. I just found out on my job site I have two electricians who are both sole proprietors working together, and neither one of them have work comp because they've opted out under the licensing law. And then to give you further information, there is an insurance policy that is available for a sole proprietor. It's a special insurance that no matter how much they make, their cap and their insurance premium is capped at $20,000 per year. So it is available. It's not inexpensive, but it certainly is something that they can roll into their costs. And it would create a level playing field for all of the sole proprietors and the prime contractors, along with protecting people who are actually working on the job site. So the Alaska State Home Builders Association does support this legislation.
Robin, I'll get to questions. Now, you said that's the highest circumstance, right? I mean,
that is the highest. Yeah, it is capped. It's a special premium for sole proprietor that is a capped premium.
And I assume that's if someone, it depends on income. So if someone's coming in as the Tom Tyler is really making a lot of in revenue, then that's the higher ceiling. And if someone's not bringing in a lot of revenue, I assume it's reduced?
No, actually, it's the same for everyone. It's capped at $20,000 of income based on your classification. So it's the same to everyone. Yeah. You can decide how much money you want to make, but it would be a set premium, a cost of doing business every year.
Okay, so about $1,700 a month, it sounds like. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, $20,000 makes a lot of people gasp, but to give you an idea of what it costs for an iron worker to erect iron, I mean, what the workers' comp cost is there, it'll run from $80 per $100 of payroll up to maybe $118 for every $100 of payroll. So $20,000 would be really, really cheap insurance for the ironworking industry.
We need some worker comp reform.
Well, let me ask a question then to Representative Crawford or to workers' compensation. Our speaker, God, he lays floors. He wants to go and they build a new building wherever in Anchorage, and he says, "Hey, I want to bid on that. I'm a sole proprietor. He might do it with the son, but let's say he does it alone. So he would have to then get that, or could he negotiate to have the contractor pay for his? It's not mandated that he gets it, right?
He can negotiate with the contractor, but it makes sure that everybody has to have workers' comp. That it is a level playing field.
Yeah. Because what if the deal is $30,000 to do the project and he owes $20,000, let's say that the deal is $20,000, it may not even be worth laying the floor then.
Representative Anderson, yeah. No, it's $20,000 in income. That's not the cost of the premium.
Oh,
in other words, if he's paying $12
I'm looking at Pam from the chamber, and Carl and Norman were all aghast going,
no.
God, did I sponsor this bill?
It's capped at an income
max. Okay.
That's not the premium. Your premium is based on what your classification is.
Thank God. Okay. I thought that was so high.
On the income of $20,000, even if you made $80,000 that year in gross income, your premium would only be based on a $20,000.
Okay. Perfect. That's great news. And then how much would that workers' compensation payment be a month for that insurance?
It could be anywhere from, a couple $100 a month. Normally, most of them run in most classifications, like tile layers or flooring carpentry, that sort of thing, are probably going to run between $300 and $3,500 per year.
Okay, that's good news. Okay, any other questions for Robin?
Yeah.
Representative Roper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robin, you were describing the history of this legislation. It was on the record here that we were accusing the other body of killing it, but I'm not sure that's the case. Wasn't there some accommodation or made or what? Refresh our memory about why the bill didn't pass before.
Well, I believe that we did have one senator, perhaps, who had some concerns because he had a constituent who had called who was a sole proprietor, and I think that we just did run out of time. It was held up in one committee working on a different solution, finding out if perhaps we could do some kind of a waiver. The task force went through every option we could think of. This is the only option that really takes care of this issue.
So there's, for the chair.
Representative Roper.
You've exhausted the possibilities of having some kind of a waiver or opt-out provision, just even though there would be If we had a statutory opt-out for a sole proprietor, if they chose to do that, and then not be subject to a claim against the general.
It still would be subject to a claim against the general. We worked with the Division of Workers' Comp. We looked at the laws very carefully, and as most everyone's aware, the workers' comp law is really sways to the benefit of an employee. And even with every type of legislative opt-out waiver, we could not find a way that it would address this issue by just making sure they had some kind of a policy.
Well, that's what we did. We make laws here.
Is that a question to Ms. Ward?
No, it's actually a statement.
Okay, are there any other questions for Ms. Ward from the home builders endorsing the bill? And I've asked the chamber representative at this time, and she may want to testify at another point, but not right now. And I've asked the ASCL, AFL-CIO representative at this time. He doesn't want to testify. So are there any other individuals that wish to testify on the bill before Labor and Commerce today? Online?
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, hearing none, I'll close public testimony.
Well, I have a question for the department.
Sure, you can always ask questions. So if the, Paul? Do you want to, sorry, you wait so long always, and most of the time may not even get a question. This time you do.
Sometimes you do.
Mr. Chairman, Snooki, as a matter of public policy, I heard a question about the potentiality of opt-out and or what do you think the proper public policy should be? Should we not allow actual small business operators to not be covered and then not have the right to seek a claim under a general's policy? I mean, if there was a contractual agreement to that effect, would that be against what we think the public policy should be for workers' compensation?
For the record, my name is Paul F. Lasanke. I'm the Director of Division of Workers' Compensation within the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and have been since January. So I don't know all the history. I've listened to the history as just described to me through the Chair, Representative Roepberg. It appears that there are kind of competing policy elements in the Workers' Compensation Act right now, and so it would appear to me that you could address it either way. I mean, if it's a problem, and you know that people are saying that it's a problem, it starts by letting people opt out. This addresses it in the way of saying, no, they can't opt out. If I understand correctly, they cannot opt out while they're engaged as a subcontractor. My assumption, just listening to the conversation, is as long as that sole proprietor is just working on a project for a homeowner or something like that, where there is no general subcontractor relationship, they could continue to opt out.
Well, it's kind of hard to turn on and off a premium they have to pay periodically if you're going to have coverage, though. Or can you buy job-specific policies?
Through the Chair, Representative Roepberg, I don't know the answer to that, which I believe would be addressed in the Division of Insurance, but I can certainly ask them and get back to you.
Yeah, because it seems as a practical matter, you typically would, if you're going to be working for a general who typically work for generals, you'd have to have a policy in place. Or you'd have to be able to buy one. I'm not sure they're available. It's tough enough to get policies, but I guess I just have I understand the concept of the bill, and I approve of it, but I still believe that there are people. I've been an independent contractor for 30-some years, and I mean, I've never had to buy a workers' comp policy. And I don't want to be put in a situation of having to if I'm a sole proprietor. I mean, I don't work with tools or anything like that, but never, I mean.
But so your question is then to Paul to say, is there a way you can opt out without affecting the bill's intent?
Right. I mean, I think that if there's going to be, I think there should be the ability there to be able to do that. If there's a clear understanding between the general and the sub, that whether there's going to be a policy or not, or any ability to claim against, that's the problem here. We have the subs now that have no policies, and the statute requires the general to pick it up.
Can you use an example? I mean, I would just so we
well,
understand.
I mean, if you had if you were a subcontractor in a home building situation, and you didn't have a policy, you weren't covered by a policy now, you currently, under the statute, I believe, can make a claim against the general's policy if there's an injury. Would that be correct, you think, the current law?
Through the chair, Representative Brookberg, I believe that's what was motivating this, is that people would indeed get hurt and make
right, they'd go bare, the subs would go bare, and then they'd make claims against the general. And the general, you know, it would seem to me if they had a clear contractual obligation for the sub to opt out, then it couldn't make a claim under the statute then.
And to answer Representative Crawford, the other perspective where you've got a contractor who says, hey, we'll cover everything, and then you have a subcontractor with iron workers and someone gets hurt, and the contractor says, too bad, too sad.
That's obviously using as subterfuge. That's the trouble with something like that.
Sure.
Do you have an answer to that?
Well,
I have a concern. You know, if a subcontractor could be covered under the contractor's clause, that's one thing. But the contractor not being responsible for the subcontractor's workers' behaviors, who might have a higher risk claim rule, might not want to do that. I mean, the general contractor, whose employees are responsible to him, might have a very good workers' comp history and not want to be affiliated with the subcontractor who has a really bad history of accidents.
I mean, couldn't you require currently that the sub have a priority policy? Couldn't a general contractor hire a subcontractor and require him by contract to have a policy?
Through the chair, Representative Brookberg, if I understood Ms. Ward's testimony, she was saying that her personal preference is to do just that.
Yeah.
But if I understand correctly the history of this, that it's the mere possibility that someone could choose to make a claim against the general. That is motivating the insurance industry, if I understand correctly, to audit and pass that cost along to the general contractor, just on the theory that they might do it. And if I understand the testimony, the objective is to just take the guesswork out of the system, to just
make it mandatory.
Strip the sole proprietor of the opportunity to opt out, at least when they're being a subcontractor, and that's my own.
And this only references subcontracting. Do you see any problems with this? Or I know you haven't analyzed it in depth, but at least from what you've heard today. And I don't mean personally. I mean in representing workers' compensation, it's not going to affect you, yay or nay. It just requires more individuals to secure workers' compensation insurance, right?
Mr. Chair, yes. That's my understanding, is that there would be additional people who are covered. So from our perspective, it would be, one less person to worry about.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, there's other considerations. I am concerned about even the definition of a subcontractor. That may be one way to look at it. We have a licensure provision in the state for specialty contractors who typically would be subs. I guess I could ask Robin ask Ms. Ward if we could define more clearly what a subcontractor was. For example, if they had a specialty contractor's license?
Yes, that's exactly it. We don't hire anyone who isn't a specialty contractor, and on their license, they have opted out of work comp. It's right on their license application that they opt out.
In Labor and Commerce, Robin, by request of several members in the House, has sponsored, I forget the number, but another bill delineating some aspects of specialty contract services, subcontract services. So there's other legislation addressing that, but not the definition per se.
Well, I'm just wondering if this particular amendment would have more general applicability outside the building trades and so forth. This is where the big problem is.
It used to be in the truckers. I know Barbara Huff actually was on the on our task force, and it used to be more of a problem with truckers, but I don't believe it is today, and I'm not sure what they did to fix their problem. Right now, it's most prevalent in residential home construction.
So, Robin, this is Representative Anderson. Is there a need to have an amendment? And I'll let Representative Crawford speak to that as well, but like Representative Roper is saying, Representative Roper is the rules chairman. I want him to be happy with the bill, or we're not going to hear the bill.
I agree.
So, I mean, that makes sense. So is there something you can fix there?
Absolutely. We'll certainly look at that.
Okay. I wish we could do it now so we could move the bill. But Representative Crawford?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe the way that we wrote this bill, that
the example that you use, that you're a sole proprietor and you've worked for 30 years, I don't think this changes your relationship at all. But what it does is this changes the relationship with when you have a subcontractor, such as with the home builders or in the building trades, or a subcontractor for a trucking company. It does change that. But I don't think you acting as a sole proprietor, I don't think this requires you to get workers' comp at all, period. But
no, I agree with that, but just use Sonny as an example. I mean, I've been in a situation where I've worked for as consultants to corporations, where you might would I be a subcontractor then? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think you're still a sole proprietor.
Well, I am concerned though if it had. Oh, sorry.
No, I think you're still working as a consultant, not as a sub. I believe that was our intent. Writing at this
to maintain way. In the building term, not in the white collar consulting business term.
Well, I'm also concerned what this word said. If it did have applicability to truckers or some other professions, it might be appropriate too. I don't know. I mean, that would, if we could clarify what a subcontractor was, or require them to have a specialty contractor license, but we may be limiting it too narrowly. Then I'm just not sure.
Sure. Well, the bill's been held in deference to other bills, and I've held off, and Representative Crawford's been very patient. I would love to get the bill out of committee and to the floor, but
the committee referral, right?
Yep, but so I'm not trying to expedite it, other than we've certainly given a lot of time to not to hear it until today. So my question would be, do you think you can have this worked out so we can move it Friday?
Well,
I mean, I don't see objection to movement, and we'll see when I ask that question. But if you, I haven't heard too many questions.
You want me to fix it?
Well, no, but I don't want you to delay it. I mean, in terms of if you have an idea, I want it to either move today or Friday. So, Robin, do you think we can fix this now online? And Representative Guttenberg?
Well, Representative Crawford's got his hand up, waving furiously.
Right. Before you answer, Robin, Representative Crawford.
I think that as long as you leave an opt-out provision, then we have to fix the problem. That's what this bill is about. That's the very guts of the bill, okay, is to do away with the opt-out provision for independent subcontractors, sole proprietors, that sort of thing.
Okay, I rely on that judgment. Robin Ward, do you rely on Representative Crawford's interpretation?
Yes, because it's our understanding, and always been our understanding, that this only pertains to a general or a licensed specialty contractor who works for a general contractor. If a sole proprietor wants to work for homeowners or has negotiated with a prime contractor to pay this for them, they are allowed to do this. This is only to protect the situation where a licensed specialty contractor works for a general licensed contractor.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we could make a conceptual amendment to require that the subcontractor be a specialty contractor also, and that might solve that, but it would narrow the scope of the applicability of the statute. But if that's the home builders willing to do it, that's fine.
Yeah, it sounds like Robin said she doesn't think that's necessary. Is that correct, Robin?
In my opinion, I think that it covers the issue as it's stated now. I'm not sure that we want to. I'm not in favor of narrowing the scope to the point where it says absolutely that it is a licensed specialty contractor, because I think what we may, and one of the problems that we're having right now is more and more of our specialty contractors aren't getting licensed and they're working unlicensed.
Exactly.
I mean, we're trying to encourage people to be licensed and have their bond and their workers' comp.
Well, I think then we'll hold off, and I know Representative Roper will expedite this to the floor, and if there is a change, then we'll amend it on the floor. But I know you don't like to do that. You like to finish it in committee.
We don't, we don't amend bills on the floor if we can avoid it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think we're good now. So no other questions. Why don't we have a motion for Representative Lynn?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to move House Bill 311, 23-LS108-2/D with an individual recommendation.
Zero fiscal note.
Yeah, zero fiscal note and no amendment.
Okay. So, no, hearing none. The bill is so moved. And our next meeting will be Friday. And we'll bring back up House Bill 502, House Bill 391, and the other bills to be heard. And we will adjourn at 5:20. Thank you, everyone, for staying late.
So,